I presume that just about everybody here in this sanctuary today has been to a wedding dinner, or maybe some kind of gala or awards event, something put on at the hospital. But you've been in a setting where there were tables set up and it was pretty clear which was the head table. And it may have been raised at the end of the room, or maybe in a round table in the center, but the people who were seated there were the VIPs. They were the celebrities. They were the folks who mattered. And you felt good about that night because a loved one was getting married, someone for whom you had affection was being honored, a cause that you cared about was being feted. But it's also possible that for just a passing moment, you looked around and thought, I'd like to be closer to the center of the action. I'd like to be sitting up there with the VIPs. That's normal. We like attention. We like to be in the thick of things. And if that thought then just passed on, you don't have much to worry about. But if you dwelled on it, and you began to get resentful, and you began to let it consume you, then you or I have a problem. We all need to have a healthy ego, a strong sense of self. But it can't be overpowering. It can't be overbearing. Now, Jesus, making his journey into Jerusalem for his final confrontation with Pilate and the religious authorities. And he finds himself at this dinner with one of the leading Pharisees. And what does he do? He decides he's going to teach a lesson. Now, Jesus does this a lot, doesn't he? And he will often take the situation at hand, the thing that's unfolding around us, and he uses it as an example. So what's going on here? Why has Jesus, at this moment, at this place and time, decided that he's going to be the Miss Manners or Emily Post of the first century? Now, I'm not saying that Jesus didn't care about good manners or etiquette. But really? Of course, he has a deeper message here. And we got a sense of what it was when we heard Denise read the lesson from Jeremiah. We can place our hope and our confidence in false things. And that can be political leaders or things we want to get. But it can also be in ourselves. Sometimes our ego gets so big, it crowds out everything else. Our self-regard becomes a bit too much, and we lose sight of the things that count. The thing that really amazes me about this lesson is that what Jesus said 2,000 years ago still applies. Who here would go to an event and push themselves up to the front of the room? You know what would happen. At some point, somebody would say, that's not your seat. Go sit over there. The other flip side of the coin doesn't happen as often. There's no guarantee that if you take the lowest seat, you'll be moved up to the head table. But it can happen. And when it does, it's amazing. I recall being at a dinner, good heavens, it's now 15 years ago, and I was there working. So you remember I was a fundraiser before I went into ministry, and I was not there as a donor. I was not there as a faculty member. I was not there as an alumnus who had worked hard for the school. I was the staff. And so I expected to be seated on the fringes. And this was a huge event, and the meal took place in more than one room. They were all connected, but some of us had to sit in the secondary room. And I was fine with that. I felt pretty good about being at the event at all. And then just as we were going to go in and sit down for dinner, my boss came up to me and said that there was an empty seat at one of the tables at the center of the main room, and would I please take it? Now, this invitation was a lot like the ones that you get in the Army when they ask if you'd like to do something. But I was happy to go take that seat. And I got to sit with some fascinating faculty and some leading supporters of our institution. But I remembered I had done nothing to earn that spot. I wasn't there because I was special. I was there because I was useful at that moment. But I still remember that dinner all these years later. We need to focus on God and not ourselves. And that's a pretty simple message for us to hear from Jesus. But what about the second part of his lesson? What about this idea that we should be inviting in the lame and the cripple and the poor and the outcasts? That sounds nice. But how often do we actually do that? Inviting people into our homes requires an act of trust, and barriers have to be broken down. But think about what Jesus is telling us. Inviting the powerful and the rich and the connected, that's going to be our reward. That will be it. You'll have your meal and you'll be done. But when we actually welcome these outsiders, we're going to get repaid by God at some point in the future by a feeling that we can know inside us. Another work story from long ago. And this took place shortly before I left my career in development to enroll at divinity school. So I was feeling pretty good about things. Because at this point, everything I was doing at work was gravy. We were having a campaign kickoff. And any of you who've ever been involved in fundraising know that campaign kickoffs are usually a big deal. Beautiful black tie event and a phenomenal venue. And I'd been at the institution for a long time, so I knew a lot of people. And I was plugged in at one of the central tables because I was able to talk with some of the top donors that I've worked with over the years. And I was anticipating a good evening. But as I looked around the room, as we were getting ready to sit down for dinner, I noticed that there was a staff table, and it was on the fringes, and one of my colleagues, who I'd been working with, who I knew was going to be staying at the school a lot longer than I was going to be seated at that table. And so I talked with my boss, and I suggested that perhaps he could take my seat, because he was going to work with these people in the future. And he said, okay. So my colleague was really pleased to be involved at the center of attention and got to build relationships and cultivate alumni and do good work for the school. And I got to sit back on the fringes with my staff friends, and I had a nice time. And there was that sense of giving something up in which I got a much greater reward. Now, I'm not gonna say I've always been perfect at every work event I've ever gone to. But those are the two events that stuck with me. And they came to me immediately as I read this story. Now, we're going to share a meal here in just a few minutes. And the answer to the question of where's my seat is, I don't know. It's first come, first served. Everybody is going to get some bread. Everybody is going to get some juice. And when you come to the front of the sanctuary, we do not care how much you give to the church, how much time you volunteer, how faithful you are in coming to worship services. The only identifier you have is that you are a child of God. Think about that. That makes you pretty special. And I hope when you come forward to share in the bread and the cup, you will feel special. And you will feel loved. And you'll feel the humility of God having chosen you. Remember, at the end of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, he was put on trial. And he was convicted. And he humbled himself to die on a cross. And he did that for you and for me. That's pretty remarkable. That's pretty amazing. And that is a sign of God's grace and his power and his love. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gifts of Scripture, for the sacraments, and for all the ways you have made yourself known to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.